Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, for this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not, what? Drift away from it. And you know, COVID changed things and a lot of people drifted away, right? Some of them then never came back to church and they just decided to do it a different way. They drifted away. We saw that. Every church has seen that to a certain degree. And then maybe you got out, you drifted away from prayer time or time in the Word. Sometimes we start to drift a little bit in the way that we think. But it goes on in verse 2, and it says, for if the word spoken through angels provided unalterable and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. So, you know that the word drift in the Greek, it means to flow by or slip away. It means to slip away. We had a period of there about 2.5 years that sort of slipped away, right? It just drifted away. Nobody knew what was going to happen. Nobody knew what was going on. And everybody was just floating along trying to figure out how it was going to all work out. Thank God, God's still on that throne. Amen? But prayerfully, you're still not just drifting away. Thank you, Susanna. You know, when a ship is adrift, it has no real direction of its own. It is carried by that which surrounds it. And so the question this morning is, who are you surrounding yourself with? What are you surrounding ourselves with? And is that what's guiding you? Are you adrift, just waiting and watching life go by and going along with all the things that the world has? Or is there a purpose? Is there a direction for each one of our lives? You know, adrift, it means to float without being moored or steered. So you're not tied to anything. We need to be tied to Christ, amen? And we need to be tied to one another. We need to get a rope one Sunday. Everybody stand up and we wrap everybody up. You remember we used to do that in school? Right? And then see if we can walk together down Warren Street. That'd be a good time, wouldn't it? But it's not to be moored to anything and have no real direction. And I feel like there's so many people that have a call of God on their lives, and yet they're just adrift. How do you know when someone is adrift in their own lives? We can see it in people's lives. We know what it looks like and what it sounds like. Sounds like their conversation has nothing to do with God. Because when you're moored to something, when you have direction, then we're talking about the things of God. But if we're not talking about the things of God, we're more adrift and we're talking about whatever comes up or whatever the world is doing. And the Bible says that if you love the world, what does he think about that? The love of God isn't in you. There's enmity between us and the world. If we're chasing after the same things the world's chasing after, then there's an issue. We're not moored to Christ. We're adrift. And we're trying to find something else besides God. Is God big enough to consume each and every one of us? Is he able to consume your thoughts and our passions? Is he that good? I mean, is he that magnificent a God that no matter what the day brings? I got a text this morning from Alex. I don't think he's here, but his daughter's over in Israel, and she's 40 miles or 40 kilometers from the fence line where they're fighting. And we're praying for you this morning, Alex. And he said, please pray. He said, because my daughter's lost 3 of her friends from high school, and her boyfriend's lost 4 of his friends from high school, I think he said. And he said, can you please pray for her? Because she wants to join the IDF now. He said, I already lost one son. I don't want to lose my daughter. That just wrecks me. Then I just go in my office and I cry. And I just think about how good God is. Because he hears and answers our prayer. So even when our children make decisions I don't know about your children. My children didn't always make good decisions. My mother taught me to make good decisions. I didn't say I did it. She taught me to make good decisions. I didn't listen. But sometimes our children don't make the decisions we want them to make. But is God big enough when they make their decisions? Is God able to rescue them when they make the wrong decisions or decisions of their own? Right. And so I would just encourage you just to lift up Alex and his wife and just be praying for them, for the little girl to be transformed by the power of God's love in the midst of a tumultuous situation. And watch her walk on through. You know, to drift, many today have drifted from their Christian foundation. There's many. Now we have conversations, and it's amazing how Christians or churches now, you know, or some pastors are afraid to say there's only two genders. It's amazing. Talk about losing your foundation. You've got nothing when you get outside of the Word of God to stand on. And yet people say, well, I don't want to get off into the weeds there. That's not the weeds, man. That's not the weeds. That's the truth. And if we don't proclaim the truth, guess what? It doesn't get any brighter in America. The light only comes through the truth, and that's you. You are the light of the world because of the Christ that lives on the inside of each and every one of us. Amen? Right. So talk about going adrift. Pastors are afraid to say homosexuality is not of God. Oh, that'll get you canceled. And not yet. I don't see it happening. Because my God's still on the throne. The truth is still the truth. And we're going to have to proclaim the truth all the way till Jesus comes. But you see, if you struggle, if you're afraid to get in those conversations, I'm not. I love getting in those conversations because I love asking questions, right? I want to know how they think because I certainly have no idea how you could possibly think there's any wisdom in that or if there's any freedom when suicide is 30% higher. But the sad part is that men and women of God in churches say, no, that's not so. They're adrift. They're not moored to anything. We can't be moored to anything else besides the Word of God. Nothing else can steer us the rest of our days. It has to be the power of the Word of God through each and every believer. John said, do it all in love. Do it all in love. We don't go in there and just try to start trouble. Right? Forget what the one brother said. He was a man of peace, but he loves a riot. Because when we go in and speak the truth, guess what? Sometimes riots break out. Can you handle a riot? Yeah. Sometimes you were that riot, Travis Johnson. No, not you, Travis. Maybe the guy sitting next to you. God is telling us with the utmost love, don't drift because there's consequences. Hebrews 1 and 8, it says, but of the Son, he says, your throne, O God. This is God speaking through the writer, whoever the writer of Hebrews is. They never came to an agreement on that. But here's God saying, but of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. And here he is, God calling Jesus God. It's a beautiful display of the power of God and who Jesus Christ is. And he said, you rule with a righteous scepter. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will become old like a garment. And like a mantle, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will also be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. You know, where do your thoughts go when they go adrift? That was wonderful. Whoa. Right? It all depends on what happened that morning. Doesn't it? You're driving in a car. It's an amazing morning. You were in prayer. You were in the word. You were in worship. And you're driving. Oh, God, who do you have for me today? Somebody's going to get saved today in the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's where my mind goes. When I'm having incredible days, I am preaching in front of 50,000 people. People are getting healed. Whenever I have good days, that's the only place it goes. Every time, I just love watching people get saved. I just love being a part of that. So my mind, when I drift, this morning I woke up, we were exhausted a little bit yesterday, and so I went to bed at like 8:30, 8:45, I think it was. And of course, the Lord said that was enough, and he woke me up at 1:34. And when I woke up at 1:34, I got up out of bed and I just went out on the couch and that was the thought I had. All of a sudden, I was just walking and I met a guy. That's all it takes, isn't it? Just meeting somebody. And I prayed for him and the guy dropped, he got healed. And the next thing you know, he told his friend, and then we were having a Bible study, and then we were at RFK Stadium and the place was packed and thousands of people were getting healed and saved. And that's where I spent the next hour and a half in my mind. When I go adrift, that's where I usually go adrift. With a good day. Other days I go adrift in wrong places. And it usually becomes very self-centered. I don't know about yours. It's not about doing all kinds of stupid stuff. It's just self-centered. The victim comes. Poor, pitiful me. Tell your neighbor, say, you are pitiful. Without Christ. Come on. We're all pitiful without Christ. We are. But you are not a victim. Tell your neighbor, say, you're no victim. Tell your other neighbor, you're no victim. Tell your other neighbor, say, stop acting like one. We are not victims in this house. We are victorious through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. Amen? Your family shall be saved in the name of Jesus. That's the victory you have. And that's where when you drift, I would encourage you, when you start drifting, you're all by yourself, and you're doing the drift, you just start drifting and watching every single one of your family members coming to Christ and preaching the word of God. That's where we need to drift off to. God's thoughts toward you never drift away from the truth. He never has any thoughts towards you except the ones that line up with his word. He said, when you read my word, I need your thoughts to line up with my words about your life also. So when you drift into an agreement with who I said you are. And that my love for you is from everlasting to everlasting. There can be no other thought about love for you on this planet. I'm not interested in what grandpa, grandma, uncle, auntie, mommy, daddy, brother, sister, teacher. I don't care who it was. I don't know how they loved you. And it probably wasn't great, not every one of them. But they do not count anymore. Because his love supersedes their love. His love is greater. His love is a deliverer. His love is more powerful. Theirs was something that was lacking if you had somebody that lacked love in your life. Stop using them as your barometer. If we're in Christ Jesus, then when we drift off into a love affair with the King of Kings, who said, I'm going to provide for you all the days of your life. I'm going to make a way where there is no way. I'm preparing a place for you. Your whole family shall be saved. You call out to me, and I'm going to answer your cry. That's the love affair that he wants us, each and every one of us, to have with him. That's where he drifts off to. He never changes. And he never drifts away from his word. And that's what the writer of Hebrews was trying to say. He said, how will we escape if we neglect a great salvation? The drifting comes when neglect comes. When you neglect time in prayer, that's neglect. You start to drift in different directions. When we neglect time in the word, we start to drift in wrong directions. Husbands and wives, stop praying together and encouraging one another. Oh, has the church been hit hard and hurt badly because people started to drift away from the very foundation that God's word said from Genesis to Revelation about us as bride. And the church has been devastated because people started to drift away from the word, drift away from prayer, and therefore started blaming one another. Are you done blaming me? I'm done blaming you. All right. But he said, if we neglect a great salvation, then we're going to start to drift. It always comes from neglect. How will we escape if we neglect? Do you think for a moment that you can do it your way or I can do it my way and not drift into some troubled waters in my thoughts, in my deeds, in my words? When we drift, we become God of our own lives. We forget the cost. When we neglect the great salvation, we forget the cost that was paid for each and every one of us. We stop sharing the truth of what he has done. His indescribable love for us starts to leave and we forget about it. And all we can figure or stand on or complain about or talk about or discuss is everything that hasn't happened the way that I told God it should. His omnipotent power that we know, no matter what it looks like, it's subject to change. His unparalleled authority. He's already destroyed the works of the evil one over our lives. His sacrificial heart for each and every one on the planet. He doesn't care where we come from. His love for us is the same, each and every one. And the day we all stand before him, if we neglect so great a salvation, everything in our lives starts to get affected. And he said, you'll start to drift. Oh, man. Did I not print that? Oh, I turned the wrong page over. For if the words spoken in verse 2 through angels provided unalterable, every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty. Every time the word of God was spoken in the Old Testament, the just penalty came. Thank God that we didn't receive our just penalty. Amen. But by it, because of the blood of Christ, we've been changed. And we look at how God dealt with those that they didn't even have salvation in him, but walking in righteousness. And we're reminded of Korah's rebellion in Numbers chapter 16. Korah's rebellion was he rebelled against Moses, right? Moses was one that God put in charge. And he went up against him. He says, who do you think you are putting yourself above us? Every one of us are children of God. Every one of us have authority. Moses dropped to his knees and started to pray. And he said, let's see what God has to say. He didn't drift from what he knew. They drifted because of their arrogance and their pride. Listen, we get away from the word of God. We get outside of prayer. We start to drift. That's our arrogance and our pride, thinking we can do it in and of ourselves. Korah started to drift and the people that were with him. And that day, the earth opened up. And him and his family and generations, along with 250 other men that started to follow him. Yeah, isn't that amazing? How rebellion always produces followers. Always. You can always get people to follow you in rebellion. We need to get people to follow us in Christianity. It's easy to find people that want to complain, isn't it? Well, yeah. It's easy to find people that will agree with you. Yeah, forget them. They're no good. They're losers. They're failures. Yeah, I agree. We're the only winners. Isn't that what happens? God set up authority. Korah and all the rest of them, they said, no, 250 guys said, yeah, we agree with you. We want to be the leader too. We want to be in charge. And those 250 men and all the families fell into a, the Bible says, into Gehenna with their clothes on. God's a just God. He's a righteous God. And this is what happens when we start to drift. The world tries to constantly get you to drift from the truth. Right? They even sing songs about it. Right? Started back in the 70s. Don't blame the kids of 2020s. Back in the 60s and the 70s, We were reminded yesterday at the wedding that by Paige, I think she's downstairs. Paige, are you up here? Oh, I thought you were pointing to her, Mike. You were just scratching. I think. Paige says, oh, yeah, you guys were born back in the 1900s. She's right. We all were. Well, most of us were. Day after day, I'm more confused. Yet I look for the light through the pouring rain. You know that it's a game I hate to lose. And I'm feeling the strain. Ain't it a shame? Give me the beat, boys, to free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Yeah. See, they started bringing it in. They started writing about it in the 70s, trying to get men's minds off of it. We got to listen to the rest of them, though, right? It says, beginning to think that I'm wasting time, I don't understand the things I do. The world outside looks so unkind, so I'm counting on you to carry me through. Counting on music, counting on somebody else's song. I just got to get lost in the rock and roll, man. I tried that. It didn't work. We just got lost. That's all we did. But that's what it was. Everything the devil does is to try to get us to drift away. There's another one, right? Slip sliding away. Slip sliding away. You know, the nearer your destination, the more you're slip sliding away. Isn't it funny how the end times says, or the Bible says in the end times, more of them will start slip sliding away. See, they were singing about this stuff, making it common knowledge, getting everybody to just grab a hold of it and say, yeah, man, that's me. Yeah, that's so cool. We're just slip sliding away, man. We're just drifting. That's what we're doing. They used to run drifters out of town because they didn't bring anything good with them. They just said, keep moving, boy. Keep moving. Get on out of here. They weren't going to set up roots. They weren't going to serve. They weren't going to build. They weren't going to help out. They were just looking for something for nothing. And they didn't want to have to add to. They just wanted to breeze on through. I want you to know God's called you to add to. God's called you to multiply everything he puts in your hands. He said, I'll do it, but you're going to have to sow it. See, when you start drifting, you stop reading the word. You stop praying. When you stop drifting, you stop giving. I knew that would be quiet. Thank you, Carrie. You're just so kind to me. Giving of your time. Ah. See, you thought it was about your money. Giving encouraging words. We stop giving and we want to take. When we start drifting, then it becomes self-centered, self-consuming. You know, we can tell what's going on in our lives. How much time did you use on self-consumption this week? The prophetic word came this morning twice. They said, we can't be looking at ourselves. God's got something for you. He's got a plan for each one of us. But it's not drifting. Amen. It's not drifting. Maybe you've been coming here for a while. Maybe you're brand new here. We're glad that you stopped drifting and stopped in. We're so glad. Somebody get a rope and tie him to a chair. We don't want you drifting. We want you setting up camp. We want you doing what God's called you to do because we agree that there's many, many, many people that are going to be changed by the power of the love of Christ inside of you. That's why we stop drifting. That's the ultimate focus, right? And then we stop drifting in the word. How many people just do the old, well, that looks good. Let's see. Matthew 11, that's a good place to start. That's drifting. We've got to be disciplined in our reading, disciplined in our prayer time, disciplined in our finances, disciplined in our family time. You know, I think it was Kendra, or I don't know, my wife, one of them that said, your children cannot be your idol at the women's conference. It wasn't me. I wasn't there. You can't yell at me. How many times are people, all they do is run? I'm going to close my eyes. They run to the school, every single thing the child wants to do. I just got to keep them busy. I got to let them do what they want to do. I got to keep them happy. And the child now dictates every night of the week, every day of the week, everything that we're going to do. That's what America has brought. And that's what happens when we start drifting away from the Word of God. Because if you have a child that's here in this church, you know what they should be doing? Serving somewhere. Another quiet moment. Home. Every young person in here should be serving. That wasn't me. That was her. She said, and every adult. Can we agree? Why are we here? Or are we just drifting? No, that's your job. You take care of it. Where's Lisa? She downstairs with the kids? Yeah. She gets them 20 people. She cracks that whip. They're feeding food. They're praying. They're worshiping. They're carrying stuff out. Bringing it to people's houses that can't get in. Just serving. People badmouth them, complain, lie, steal. Wasn't your phone, Caitlin, they stole the one time? Yeah. Caitlin was serving down there. They set her phone down. She came to me. She said, Pastor, they stole my phone. Did we find it? I don't remember what happened. We didn't find it? I couldn't hear you. Oh. Couldn't find it. They stole our snow shovels. You leave it there, it's gone. You want to declutter? No, don't bring your stuff here, please. I was just kidding. And you know what they did? They just kept serving. They just kept giving. They just kept surrendering. If you're here in this church, if you're going to drift, then you're going to impart nothing and impact nothing. But if we're going to get serious about the things of God, then we're going to pour into, we're going to pour out rather than just take. Because that's what the world is about. Hey, give me what I want and then I'll be nice to you. That didn't work for my kids. We gave them what they wanted. They still weren't nice at times. They weren't. They cried. They stomped their feet. Right? They lied. You gave them everything they wanted. And they still didn't do it all right. So we're going to have to do what God's called us to do. Amen? Hebrews 2:3, it says, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You know, I was hoping to get through draw also, but I'm not. Because we're either going to drift or we're going to draw. We're going to have to draw close to him. He said, if you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. That's what he said. Who's the initiator? We are. He said, if you've got to do it. It's not, we don't walk through life and say, hey, God, I gave you my life. You should be happy. Bless me. That's how a lot of people live, right? I'll do whatever I want. Bless it. Yeah, sorry that I use your name in vain, but bless me. Sorry, I don't serve anywhere, but bless me. Yeah, I don't tithe or nothing, but bless my finances. Right? This is what we do many times until we start to draw close to him. Can I tell you, when I draw close to him, I change. Amen. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Right. He doesn't change. But he says in James 4, 7, and 8, he said, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Anybody besides me been double-minded at some time? Right. He is the one that has given us breath in our lungs, the number of days on the earth, the only one we will stand before one day. Should he not be the one we want to be closest to? Even to the point where we have to say things that please him and not men. I got a few more minutes. When we draw near, he always loves us greater than we ever imagined. He never holds back his love. When you draw near to him, his love is already there waiting for you. Amen? Whenever we draw near, he calls us his, and his love is everlasting. He surrounds us with his angels. He starts to place more than enough of our future on the path ahead of us. He prepares a place for us. He leads. We don't have to wonder any longer. How many people you talk to? Hey, so where are you heading? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't have a clue. Where you want to be in a year? What? I know where I want to be for breakfast. A year? That's a little ridiculous. Where you want to be in 3 years, 5 years? And people won't even plan. They won't even strategize. And yet God's already got provision, already waiting for you. Already out there for those that draw close to him. You won't have to wonder. When you draw close to God, you will not have to wonder what you're supposed to do. Guaranteed. He does all the work in our salvation. And he said, don't neglect it. 2 Chronicles 15:2, it says, and when he went out to meet Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you when you are with him. Who's the one that's got to initiate? We do. He'll be with you. He said, you draw close to him, he'll draw close to you. He said, you want to be with him? He always wants to be with you. He's better than any friend you ever had. Even your closest friend said, I had enough of you. You want to hang out? Sorry. What do you got to do? Shovel a chicken coop out. I don't care what it is. Anything but hang out with you. Even your closest friends. But you know, God never says that about you. You say, hey, God, I want to draw near to you. He said, I'm coming. Hey, God, I want to spend time with you. He said, I'm already here. He said, God, I'm hurting. I'm the healer. God, I just feel overwhelmed. I'm the one that lifts your burdens. God, but you know what I'm saying? I feel rejected. I'll never reject you. Draw close to him. And he said, I'll draw close to you. And then every one of your needs will be satisfied. Even the ones you don't even know you have yet. Isn't that good news? The ones that you haven't even thought of yet. Let's face it, you're not that smart. I'm not. I don't know what I need next year. I don't know what I need tomorrow. I know I need a good night's sleep tonight. It said, the Lord is with you when you are with him. And if you seek him, he will let you find him. How wonderful. In other words, he's never going to hold back from you when you want him. He's not going to hold back. When you want him, but you're going to have to seek him. You don't sit there when you walk into the hotel and ring the little bell. Ding, 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 ding. Excuse me. Can you grab my bags? That's not the way that we approach God. That's not the way we come after him. We seek him. We get into his words. We get into prayer, and then we spend time with him. And then they say, hey, you want to go do whatever? No, sorry, this is my time with the king. I'm drawing close to him because I need everything he's got in order to get through this time in this season. I can't figure it out. I don't even know what I need. I don't know what my wife needs. I don't know what my child needs. I don't know what my uncle needs. I don't know what my grandparents need. Whatever it is to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, I don't know what they need, but I know he does. And therefore, I'm going to draw close to him, and then he's going to show me how to pray specifically and watch their lives be changed by the power of his love. When we draw close to him, he draws close to us. Psalms 100. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. I want you to know, if you're going to draw close to him, there's one thing you're going to end up doing, serving. There is no way to get close to God and not serve. You already serve self. I already served myself. 23 years, whatever I wanted to do. Well, the younger years, I did what I was told to do. I I did some of the things I was told to do, all right? But then I took the reins and I was going to do it better. Exactly. Sorry for keeping you up, Alan. I was grabbing them reins and I'm going to do it right. I'm going to do it my way. We're going to change everything. And it was worse. And I was in the same exact place. Still wanting. Still lost. Still confused. Still busted up inside. And then he came. And I started to draw close to him. He said, "You draw close to me, I'll draw close to you." And then sometimes my wife would say, "You need to draw close to him again." A lot closer. And so she would help guide me in that. God wants to spend time with you, and he wants you to be close to him. He says, "Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves." When we draw near, we remind ourselves of his magnificence. Remember in Ziklag when David was overrun and they stole his family and all the stuff that he had? He strengthened himself. He strengthened himself in the Lord. He stepped away from everybody that wanted to kill him. They wanted him dead. He stepped away and he drew close to the Lord. And the Lord said, "Hey, come on, we're going to go get everything back." He's a good God. Listen, whatever you're looking for, he's the one that meets your need. He's the one that makes a way. And we see it in 2 Kings 19 when Hezekiah drew close to the Lord. Hezekiah was getting overrun. And they sent a letter to him, said, "We're going to wipe you out." And that night, he took that letter, he laid down the altar, and he said, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I need you." He pressed in. He sought the Lord. He drew close to the Lord. He walked away from everybody that he was the king of. And he walked in and he laid the letter on the altar and he spent the night with the Lord and he woke up. 186,000 men were dead in the battlefield from one angel in one night. You don't think your God can meet your need? You don't have that many enemies. You're not in a war that big. The biggest war you have, you got 186,000 wrong thoughts that he wants to exchange for good ones. That's what the word does. I have them too. And in closing, we see in John 21 where Peter was drifting. Peter was drifting. He denied Jesus three times. Right? Cursed him. He had drifted from. He said, "Lord, I'll never leave you. I'll never deny you." Jesus said, "You'll deny me three times before that rooster crows." "Not me, Lord. All the rest of them will leave you. Not me." See, our pride causes us to drift at times too. And in our own strength, we're all weak. But in him, we're strong. Amen? Why do you think Jesus came to him afterwards? And three times he said, "Do you love me?" He wasn't trying to beat Peter up. As many times as Peter denied him, Jesus said, "I want to remind you, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? I want that so strong on the inside of you." And then when he loved him, what did Jesus tell him to do? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. What did he tell him to do? Serve me. Don't serve yourself. You served yourself. You tried to keep yourself alive. You're going to die eventually anyway. But it's time to serve me and my desire for you. Is he on there, Sean? Oh, there you go. I couldn't hear nothing. I like it. Go ahead. Just give me something, Chris. Come on. Give me that beat, boys, to free my soul. It says that we're to serve the Lord with gladness. The closer we walk to him, in a new and living way, the more we live in all of his promises. We're to live by faith in a new and living way. You see, when we draw close to him, and the closer I draw to him, when we're talking like this morning, and I'm asking, I'm like, "Lord, why am I up this morning? I love you. I worship you. I magnify you. I love spending time with you." And then I just started to speak. You know, I thank you, Father, for my healed body in the name of Jesus. I thank you that every one of my family members will walk with you. I'm so grateful, Father, that all of my needs are met by you. I started to become more alive every time I started to speak. When no one else was around, I started drawing close to him this morning, and he drew close to me, and he said, I agree. Every time I spoke his word, he said, I agree. I agree. I agree. Can I tell you, when you get an amen from God, your whole life starts to come alive. And you wonder why you can't sleep, because he's saying, I agree. I agree. I agree. And I know I'm going to have what his word says for my life. And I know you can have what your word, what the word says for your life. Amen. Well, if you're going to draw close, stand up this morning. If you're going to drift, stay seated. Because I'm going to preach this message again until you stop drifting. If you're drifting, you're staying here for another hour and a half, and I'm preaching it again. I'm so grateful. So grateful for everyone in this room. You're the power of God manifested on this planet. And he's called you to draw close to him. No more drifting. When your thoughts start to drift, he said, grab that rope, moor it to the word of God and tie it up tight. He said, take that thought captive and cast it out in the name of Jesus. When that desire starts to rise up on the inside to say, I'm all alone, you're not. Suicide would be better. It's not. Every one of them are a lie from the enemy. But nobody loves me. That's a lie. We got to moor ourselves to who he is. We've got to grab a hold of the truth. And he's going to change every single person in this room. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, it just transforms the way that we think. Lord, let us be like those men of God that stood, those women of God that have stood when Miriam grabbed her tambourine. Lord, they were in fear before they crossed over. And once they crossed over, she grabbed that tambourine and started to shout unto her God with a song. Lord, I pray that we would grab that tambourine on this side of the Red Sea. Before we see the victory, Lord, that we just start to sing our song of worship, sing our song of praise, proclaim that word of prophecy over the situation. And Lord, that we start to live our lives in faith in a greater way, that when we walk out of these doors, Lord, we just start to say what your word says. And every time the enemy says, you know that's not going to happen, say, no, my God makes all things work together for good when I trust him. So shut your mouth and get out of my life. Lord, I thank you for the transformation that as we draw close to you and you draw close to us, Lord, as we step into there because of a love affair, because we know you're the God of your word, Lord, let there be intimate times of worship and weeping and rest and joy unspeakable all week long for every single one in this room. Lord, help us to stop drifting in everything that we have done. And let us draw close to you. You said, if we draw close to you, you'll draw close to us. At that moment, nothing is impossible. Therefore, our lives become ones that are lived in freedom. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God.